will say that I have shed innocent blood. What's blood for, if not for shedding?
I just can't take no pleasure in killing. Just some things you gotta do. Don't mean you have to like it.
There is nothing to worry about. You're gonna be just fine. I'm your number one fan.
Let her get away, Mommy.
Welcome to an ultra special edition of Horrifying My Friends. This week we will be doing a Halloween commentary of the original 2007 Rob Zombie classic. No, just playing, just playing. Settle down. The original 1978 John Carpenter classic. This is our first commentary here at HMF, so hopefully, you know, you guys dig it. And we'll be doing ours a little bit differently. Like, you'll hear a little bit of sound in the background and stuff. I always dig that. I dig hearing the screams and, you know, stuff like that, the music. And Kate and I will just kind of riff over it and just talk about really what we want to talk about, whatever comes to mind. So if you guys want to watch along with your copy of the movie, we are watching the 35th anniversary Blu-ray. This is coming out of the big set that Scream Factory did. So that's the disc that I'll be using. And we will get to timestamp zero on the Blu-ray, and then we will all hit play together when I go 3, 2, 1, play. So if we're all ready to go, Producer Kate?
Let's do it.
We good to go? All right. 3, 2, 1, play. And we're rolling. John Carpenter's theme.
I know. It's such an iconic...
Oh, yeah.
Score to this film.
Mustafa Akkad. So the story behind this film, actually, as we see that iconic jack-o'-lantern come in with Donald Pleasance's name. Of course, he was the top-billed actor in this movie. So the story behind it was originally called The Babysitter Murders. I don't know if a lot of people know that. Babysitting was like a huge deal back then, you know, in the 70s and stuff. And Mustafa Akkad and Mustafa Akkad and John Carpenter came up with the idea to have a holiday-based horror movie. So they came up with Halloween. As we're seeing the introduction of this young cast, this awesome cast, I believe Jamie Lee Curtis's first movie.
Imagine if there was... Wait, is there a horror movie just called Christmas or like...
Black, well, there's like Black Christmas, yeah.
Where the just, or like Easter.
Yeah. Screenplay by John Carpenter and Deborah Hill. Deborah Hill gets the nod because she actually come up with a lot of, like the dialogue between the teens and stuff.
What is John Carpenter not in the head of a teen?
Yeah, I guess Deborah Hill was more in the headspace of the teens. I guess I read somewhere that it took John Carpenter 3 days to do this score. And that it was like a very basic, like in music, because he has like a big music background and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, when inspiration hits, it hits.
Oh, yeah.
And if you're brilliant already.
Oh, yeah. So we just saw a name, the editor, and I wanted to bring this up. Tommy Lee Wallace actually returned to the series. I believe he had something to do with the second one as well. Don't pull my card on that, but he directed the third one and the third film of this franchise as well, which is awesome, by the way.
Haddonfield, Illinois might as well be Indiana.
Now, name drop. We just had Joshua Hull on, but that was one of the things that we actually started talking about was how the Midwest like reminds us of Halloween, you know, so much, like almost year round. Really,
yeah.
Like, I've always loved this this cold open.
Yeah, the silent voyeur. Ugh, it is creepy.
Oh, yeah.
Because I just think about somebody, because I have, like, big windows in front of my house. I just imagine somebody, like, creeping around, peeping in my windows. It gives me the creeps.
Especially if it's, like, your little brother and shit. Little Michael in his clown outfit. Now, I did start the Halloween novelization. I don't know if I told you, Katie, but I spent $120 on it on eBay.
Oh, God.
Now I'm afraid to like read it though. Like I want to like frame it and read it online. But in that, I thought it's interesting. So I haven't finished it yet, but they give like a little backstory to Michael that was originally supposed to be in this film as that John Carpenter theme starts. But it was originally supposed to start in ancient Ireland. And you see this like curse that pops up every now and then. And apparently Michael is supposed to have this curse. Mm-hmm. And they detail that Michael has like the mom and the grandma are talking. And one scene I thought was pretty cool early on in the novel was Michael's hearing voices and stuff, which they're like concerned about, and having violent dreams.
I mean, that curse would make it make a little more sense that he is like so hard to kill too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I never knew that. Oh my God. It's hard to believe sometimes that there was a time when decor or like doilies and wallpaper, floral wallpaper were like the shit to have.
What's funny is that like wood floors, so wood floors went out for a long time. As you can see, the wood floors in this house, and now they're like so back. And what'd they do, like shag carpeting and stuff after this, or?
probably. Did he just have sex with her and then bounce?
Yeah, that had to be incredibly satisfying for his sister, right? Yeah. It lasted a whole of like 8 seconds.
I know, it's a real turn on too. You put that clown mask on while they're making out. It really would rev my engine. I do love the silence of this scene. You kind of can hear a little, but not much.
Those are those old school. Yeah, this scene's fucking. Now for the mask, would it have been creepier if he wore that clown mask the whole time, do you think? Or do you love, I mean, of course, the main mask is so fucking iconic, the William Shatner mask.
Ugh. So fucking creepy. I don't know. I think that little, it's like a little clown mask, right? I don't think that would be scary. As scary as the original. I forget. How old is he supposed to be in this flashback?
I think like 8 years old. I believe. I think they tell us here.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, he must be like the strongest 8 year old ever.
No shit. She didn't fight back like at all.
And I mean, the force you would need to stab someone to death. To penetrate, I don't know, like bone and muscle and like all that kind of stuff is wild. Oh yeah, he's tiny. Yes, stand there longer looking at the bloody knife.
Oh my God, that knife is huge.
Yeah, like run in there. Clearly someone's dead.
Does anybody have a knife that big?
I think it's the fact that it's in a little kid's hands and...
Yeah, it might be. You might be right on that.
All right.
Smith's Grove, Illinois.
We're headed to...
One day away. October 30th. I love these title cards in these films.
Yeah, the simplicity of it, and... I love the font of this movie. Like, for anyone who's really into, like, typeface and fonts and graphic design, I think this has got such a classic style to it, the branding of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really age. Like, a lot of the stuff, like, I'm looking at your DVDs on your shelf here, and some of these movies are not aging well. The fonts are iffy. Of course. They're at the state hospital at night, driving in the dark. There's absolutely no lights. like no street lights, no lights on the perimeter of the hospital. Yeah. Unless there's a power outage.
The smoking nurse who ends up showing up again, I believe, in the second one and H2O, if I'm not mistaken. She actually bites it early on in H2O. I always think about this scene when I'm driving to work late, like past. So where we live right next to Ben Davis is a women's prison. There's like a women's psychiatric prison or regular prison. And I always think about the scene.
So it used to be a girls' school. It's literally on Girls' School Road. Mm-hmm. And by girls' school, it was basically a juvenile detention center for girls. And since then, it's become a women's detention facility of some kind. I'm not sure exactly the deets.
Loomis is so sassy in this.
Don't. Oh my gosh. Nope. Crazy people out in the rain. And at the end of October in the cold. I'm not going to go up to the front gate and go in there.
This is one of those moments where it's like, call for backup, dude. Don't go up there.
Yeah, exactly. You go right to the police station. Why'd she roll the window down? Yeah.
Of course, slasher movie trope, she rolls the window down when somebody's up on top of the car. I always thought that was an interesting choice on how to break that window.
Just flat palm.
Yeah.
Light tap.
Yeah. He's gone from his. He's so dramatic. The evil is gone. I think Mike Barton, former guest Mike Barton, would be like a good Loomis. I don't know why. Like him just running around with a gun and shit. Now, this is my favorite title screen ever.
Look at this peaceful suburban street. Still some green on the leaves.
Now, I don't know if you know this or not, Kate, but this was actually... So, it's set in the Midwest, of course, but it was actually filmed in, like, California, I think. I can't remember the town, like... but every now and then they did a really good job of like covering up palm trees and stuff. But every now and then you will catch a glimpse of a palm tree.
Yeah. I mean, all the grasses, you know, they sprinkled some leaves, probably painted leaves. Yet none of the leaves on the trees are brown, but you know, A for effort.
Our introduction to the iconic Laurie Strode.
Was there anyone cuter than Jamie Lee Curtis at this time?
I thought you were going to say her dad.
No.
I thought you were going to be like, was there anyone cuter than her dad in this movie?
She's just so beautiful. Was she famous already when she got this role?
So her mom was, so John Carpenter, of course, huge fan of Hitchcock and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he casted her because her mother was, of course, Janet Leigh in Psycho. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this is like her, one, if not her first role, one of her first roles. I believe it's her first role.
Oh, lucky duck. Nepotism.
Tommy Doyle is actually coming back for Halloween Kills. Like what? That character. So that'll be cool. I wonder where they take his story. He was in, he was of course played by, and you haven't seen this, but Halloween 6, The Curse of Michael Myers, he's played by Paul Rudd.
Oh, I do love Paul Rudd. I have not seen that movie though.
Dude, Paul Rudd is like aged so wonderfully.
You mean he hasn't aged at all?
No, at all.
Yeah, he's a fox. What's the broken down house?
The Myers house.
Right. I should know that. I've seen this how many times? Yeah, we watch this every year.
Michael's just lurking and breathing. So John Carpenter at this point, he had directed, I believe, Dark Star, which is a, in 74, if I'm not mistaken, which was like kind of like a film student, kind of, because he went to USC film class, film school. So he directed Dark Star, and then he did Assault on Precinct 13, which was like one of his first, not big budget, but like, okay, people saw it kind of thing. And then he lucked and did Halloween, and of course it blew up.
I loved that shot, by the way, the over the shoulder.
Oh, yeah. I love that line. He was doing very well last night. How the fuck does Michael know how to drive? Did he, like, study manuals and shit? And
I mean,
a scene,
theoretically,
which,
they'd have books. He'd have books available to him, and at the end of the day,
that's fair.
Even an 8-year-old knows, like, that's press fair. The pedal on the right.
So we've actually seen this scene several times in several of the movies that we've covered. Like, Hereditary, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Donnie Darko...
Classroom
they were talking
scene.
About fate or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, he's smart like Donnie Darko.
Yeah. She's like not even paying attention. And she gets the answer like right on.
I wish I could have done that in Mr. McKenna's math class.
Oh my God. I remember there was one time I was in a geometry class, and I was just like sleep deprived. And my teacher was boring AF. And I literally like my eyes were closed. And she was that kind of teacher that would call on you. Like I was I fell asleep in her class and she called on me. I was like, Katie, what's the answer? And I'm just like, and that's like something for me though, because I was like a straight A student nerd. I was so embarrassed.
It's some good old fashioned classic bullying.
What is this haircut they all have? Who inspired like it? I want to know.
I don't know. I wonder if that was like a Ramones thing or like... Oh, what was that family? The Osmonds, right? Didn't they all have that hair?
Maybe. I don't really know much about the Osmonds. The Bradys.
You're right, though. The Bradys, too.
They had a kind of different style. Were they around? I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And he's wearing the mask, right?
Yeah. So I'm glad you brought that up. That's one of the scenes. Like,
no one is noticing him.
It's even more preposterous, like later on in the series, because they know who Michael is, and they're just like waiting for him to come back, and he's like just standing out in the open.
Well, this is Haddonfield. Nothing bad happens here.
Lots of driving with Michael early on in this movie.
Mm-hmm. He has some great technique for someone who's never driven. And this is why you never let kids walk home by themselves. You need a buddy system.
Michael actually picked up like Grubhub or something. He's like dropping that shit off on the way there.
Of course he has a Beamer.
So we see a lot of the like 80s style coming back and stuff. Maybe so like 90s is done, right? Like officially done coming back. So 80s is coming back. Do you think 70s like bell bottoms and stuff will ever come back?
Oh, they're already back, bud. Yeah, if you're a woman or a girl, like a teen, early 20s, yeah, the wider leg pants and flares and stuff have already made a comeback.
Are they really?
Oh, yeah.
I know for guys, it's like, and this is something like, I've noticed, like, my buddy Jack that was on the Donnie Darko episode, so his, like, kind of his grade, his generation kind of stuff, they all wear, like, really short shorts with, like, high socks, and the socks are white. Like, black socks are not in anymore, which that's kind of 70s, I guess. You know, like,
and
the short shorts.
Well, to you and, like, and Brian, for instance, my husband, like, short shorts are, you call like normal length, like just above the knee shorts, short shorts. Mm-hmm. But those are actually just normal shorts. Right. Y'all wear long shorts, too long shorts. Oh yeah, and the Dowdy color scheme with the white tights. Never was a good look.
Totally. The amount of times that they drop totally in this scene.
Yeah. Because teenage girls are just brainless.
I will say, though, these girls are kind of power. Like, they seem to be the power in their couples. I don't know. Yeah. They talk about Paul like he's an idiot. And like, Paul is an idiot in this movie.
Uh-huh. Well, it is true. Women mature faster than
men.
I should say girls mature faster than boys.
The infamous. He's driving by with his mask on. Like, how the fuck did he hear that?
Well, he has the windows down. He probably didn't hear what they said. He probably just heard screaming and was like, oh, I'm triggered.
he's like,
wait, not the right time.
Yeah. Gotta he's like, go. Should I kill these bitches right now? Please.
Well, he's taking a fancy to Lori, so I think, I don't know. I don't know if it's always been a cultural thing with women or young women. Because, I mean, at this time, there had been lots of serial killers taking out young girls when this came out. So, like, it's not a surprise at all that Lori is so hypervigilant and so aware that this car has been, you know, suspiciously around her all day.
By the way, we got to note the line, the infamous line by Annie there. I hate a guy with a car and no sense of humor.
I think I hate any guy who doesn't have a sense of humor. I don't know how the car makes a difference. So.
When we lived in go ahead.
I was going to say, there's quite a lot of just walking and really not much in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. It's a very quiet movie, like in the beginning. Look at those high sandals.
Oh, yeah, those platforms were in and are back. Oh, fuck no. This is when, you know, today's kids would have whipped out their cell phones and been like, hey. No survival instinct in this girl right here. She gets lucky.
Isn't it cool, like, how, like, we talked about this before, but, like, happy accidents. Like, John Carpenter probably just threw this music together and was just like, I don't have the money to do this kind of shit. I don't have the money to hire somebody. So let me do some shit on the, you know, the piano or whatever. So it'd be like a piano, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, let me just do some shit that sounds creepy, sounds cool, synthy. And he started literally, like, you can't watch a horror movie today without seeing the influence of John Carpenter's music. Like, anything that sounds synthy at all.
Something I write about him. Looking at teenagers like that, you were
yeah, he was old. A little creepy, wasn't he? Everyone's entitled to one good scare. They're starting trick-or-treating early as fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember. I don't remember ever trick-or-treating when it was light out when I was a kid. I know all the kids do now because they make trick-or-treating like 4 p.m. People got to take off work to even get home to trick-or-treat now. But I remember it always being dark when we would go with our families.
I think it, like, I know a couple years we started when it was light out. But yeah, usually it was dark.
Yeah, when it was light out, I mean, our parents worked, so. That scene or that shot.
Now, as far as we saw Tommy Doyle earlier and stuff, how all these girls are kind of babysitting and stuff. Did you guys ever have to babysit?
Oh, yeah. Like, on Halloween, no.
Yeah.
I've always known parents to want to be with their kids on Halloween night because, I mean, it's so fun when you have kids. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we used to babysit all the time. We babysit my cousins, they're much younger than me. But yeah.
And that's why
I was a fun babysitter, I like to think. Like, it was pretty much no rules. You just had to go to bed when I said it's time to go to bed.
Uh-huh.
But they would like fight and eat whatever they wanted, fruit roll ups all night long. As long as they were in bed by the time their parents got there, I was cool with it. I just made sure nobody died.
I guess much. Cindy did like babysit us now that I think about it.
Yeah.
I think we kind of like ran over her though.
Yeah, I remember when we were young, my older cousin Mike would babysit. I remember one time vividly, he babysat Jess and me, maybe Rose, I'm not sure. But he chased us around the house with my parents had a paddle. they would spank us with every once in a while. And he was chasing us around the house with a paddle. And I think Jess, like, just clumsily kind of ran into a wall and, like, broke her toe.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, he would definitely punk on us while he babysat.
Yeah, with Cindy, it was more like, look, if you guys can do whatever you want, whatever, as long as you don't tell, you know, our parents that my boyfriend's coming over or whatever. It's like these babysitters in these movies.
See, yeah, I didn't babysit when I was that old. Like, once I turned, like, 14, I want to say, I got a retail job.
Mm-hmm.
Got worker's permit to do that. And so I didn't babysit anymore. I didn't have time. I babysat when I was, like, 12 and 13. Like, nowadays, I don't think you get babysitters that young anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we do, maybe people do in community, certain communities, but yeah, you basically had to, you know, be able to dial 911 and you were pretty much good to go.
This scene was always, like, really creepy to me when he's showing, he's taking Loomis to the grave of Judith Myers. And, of course, it's no longer there because Michael already jacked that shit. But he's telling a story about how a guy just snapped and, like, killed his whole family, like, went out to the woodshed and got, like, a pickaxe and took it to his family. And Loomis is just like, where are we again? Loomis is like, I don't have time for your fucking stories, old man. There's a killer on the loose.
Some of those headstones are massive. Oh, yeah, he already desecrated this grave. He had to have superhuman strength to do that, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Those are, like, cemented down into the ground. Dude.
And Loomis was actually a huge get for this movie, by the way. Like, of course, he was not really fading, I shouldn't say, but he was a big star. Like, he was like a working actor for sure, like, back in the day, like, on some of the classic stuff. He's a classic actor.
I forgot they're smoking a joint while they're driving.
Yeah, for sure. That coughing was me on my 30th birthday party.
It's like you never smoked before.
It's like they didn't have to pull up to her dad.
Yeah, like, he's not going to smell the skunk weed in your car, honey.
I always love that line.
A couple of knives. No big deal.
All they took was some Halloween knives, some rope, and Halloween, a couple of knives.
Halloween masks.
Yeah, rope. Halloween masks. Some rope and a couple of knives. It's like, oh, okay. Nothing to worry about then. No slaughtering being planned there. So one thing I never noticed about this scene, like, the whole time they're talking, like, Michael is sitting at this light back here in the scene. Like, he'll pull up here in a minute and just sit there. He's like, oh, fuck, it's that guy.
He's just like, Don't let Loomis turn around. Don't let Loomis turn around.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, be straight.
He's like, oh, shit. We gotta go, 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 go. Well, he pulled it off. I just don't know why these girls had to get high, like, in the car. They, like, couldn't wait to their destination.
Before they're going to babysit, yeah. That's a strong move.
Yeah, you're, like, showing up with the parents there smelling like weed. It's like, it's getting on your clothes. You're in your car. Anyway. As they'd say now, they didn't give no fucks. I don't think I have ever asked a boy to the dance.
You never did?
No. Our school never did, like, the Sadie Hawkins deal, where the girls ask.
Mm-hmm.
Which is idiotic. Girls should be able to ask whenever they want. But, yeah, no, I never did. I didn't go to any dances till I had a boyfriend. I was, super nerdy. You probably can't relate, Mr. Football.
Yeah, I think I went to, like, one dance without Rose. And then, we went to the junior year prom,
mm-hmm.
I believe. Was it prom? No, I think it was homecoming, and I actually went with, Rob actually went with Rose, and I went with Rose's friend, Emily.
What was, like, the song for your prom?
Party Like a Rockstar, I believe. My senior year, or my junior year?
Whichever.
Junior year, I believe it was, like, Party at the Rockstar was big and all that, like, Under My Umbrella by Rihanna.
Ours was, I found you, Miss New Baby.
Bubba Sparks. <Yeah. laughs> Bubba Sparks is like five X's.
Yeah, when that song came on, everyone went running to the dance floor.
A lot of, well, like...
Yeah, the high school we went to, the dance floor was packed the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Like, Kanye was just big, like, with the Gold Digger and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is where shit starts to heat up.
You notice they have at least their one lit jack-o'-lantern. It does not say that we recently did an episode on Trick or Treat. If you haven't listened to that one and watched that movie, you should go and watch it. But that jack-o'-lantern is supposed to keep you safe on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You carved any pumpkins?
No, I was actually thinking about that today. Like, I was like, man, I need to carve a couple of those. Like, we have some pumpkins out there, but yeah, we definitely need to have a pumpkin carving day.
Yeah, the kids will have fun.
Sheriff Brackett and Loomis going to check out the old Myers house.
Oh, yeah. Look at that massive flashlight. I want one of those. Those, like, big boys. You can knock someone out with.
Yeah, you could cave somebody's head in with that thing.
Yeah.
No, I think this house still exists, but I think it's been relocated. But it was actually abandoned, I believe, when they were filming here. And for all you people that say, oh, Rob Zombie made Michael Myers eat a dog in H2, watch this scene, because he actually, there's a dog here dead or some kind of animal that Michael Myers had been eaten on. That's what they were just pointing to. Which makes him even more of a monster.
Yeah, I would argue killing a dog makes you a worse person than killing a human.
Which, that's crazy, right? It's like, dude, just, like, go
steal some food.
Go to a bagel place or something. Like, get some of their shit that they
dumpster
throw out.
Dive. Yeah, find some food another way. Beg.
Oh, yeah. Michael Myers is a fuck, dude. Because he killed something downstairs. I think it was a dog, if I'm remembering correctly. And then he kills that German Shepherd later on in the movie, Annie's German Shepherd. And that scene is, like, heartbreaking. when he fucking picks it up and it's like, ugh.
Oh no. I hate any kind of animals dying in film. Even if it's not real.
You better pull that gun a little bit faster than that, Loomis. Sheriff Brackett's looking at him like, what the fuck are you walking around with a gun for, dude? So, yeah, six.
Yeah, that's so, yeah, strong, so young.
Fucking, like, strong fucking six-year-old.
Yeah, he's got to have superhuman strength. I mean.
The blackest eyes, the devil's eyes.
I mean, you'd have to be incredibly convincing to be able to keep a kid who was institutionalized at 6 years old in the in an institution after they turn 18.
Oh yeah.
Like, there's so many documentaries about, like, horrifically violent young boys who have murdered people when they were very young, and they get out when they turn 18. They get out. And their records are sealed, you know.
Scully in the back. Ah, the introduction of comic books.
I dread when my kid's old enough to, like, start asking me questions about scary stuff. I don't want her to ever be scared.
It's like lining up.
It's hilarious. Travis's dog is barking as the dog on the film is barking.
Yeah, both probably barking at Boogeyman. Fucking outside.
This bitch is like the worst babysitter ever. She's just like ordering around this little kid. Like, what's this little kid gonna do about a German Shepherd? Anyway, I don't cry any tears when she dies.
Who, Annie?
Yeah.
See, Annie, I think, is. I don't know. So out of these girls, my type is probably more Annie. I don't know.
I mean, I can appreciate some sass, but she's kind of a bitch too. She's like, I'm going to watch 6 hours of horror movies straight and fuck this little girl up that I'm babysitting.
I love the way he opens those blinds.
Oh, my mom would beat me.
The way he's just shot by Dean Cundey, by the way. We didn't mention that at the beginning, but Dean Cundey, legendary cinematographer, shoots the fuck out of this movie with the blue hues and all that stuff. That's one of the cool things about this movie.
Oh yeah, Michael wanted to be seen. Like, he is backlit. He was standing right in front of a light. Like, he wanted someone to spot him. He's toying with them. It's so messed up. It makes you wonder, when he's been institutionalized for so many years, like when he was a young boy, like clearly he's voyeuristic. Like, they show that in the very beginning. Like, he loves to watch people before he does anything. But as a boy, he just went straight in and killed his sister, you know, at the earliest opportunity. Whereas I feel like in this instance, he's like making sure people see him, so he freaks them out a little bit more. He's a little more sadistic.
And that's something that we usually, like, we don't think about with Michael. Because I know, like, in the novel, like, they describe, like, how he's getting some kind of sexual pleasure by doing this. Which we know that that's how... A lot of them, right? Like, that's not... So that's, like, I've never thought about Michael that way. And it's a really, really weird, like, way to watch it. Because he is, like, he's always looking through a window.
Oh, no. Poor doggy.
Oh.
No.
Michael, you fuck. I wonder if they're going to bring back Lindsay. So I said earlier in Halloween Kills, which was supposed to be fucking... That was supposed to drop this weekend. So fuck COVID. but Tommy Lee Wallace is actually back in the new Halloween. So a little nod here. This is actually the first Thing movie. John Carpenter included this. 4 years later, he would actually do the remake to The Thing.
Yeah, that's so interesting because I had never seen The Thing until we did the podcast episode on it. And so I have not watched Halloween since we did that episode. That's cool.
This little kid reminds me of Heath.
How old is he meant to be?
Like
8? 7, 8?
Probably. He's... maybe a little bit older. Maybe he's just small. No, maybe like 9.
I feel like he's probably meant to be near the same age as Michael when he killed his sister.
You think so?
Yeah. So probably 6, 7, 8. I just don't see The Thing holding their, like, a kid that age's attention these days.
Mm-hmm.
A lot less entertainment back then.
Because how old do you think those kids are that were picking on him? Like 12?
I don't know.
Which they probably
did. They could have been his same age, but just bigger kids. Mm-hmm. Did you ever experience any, or like witness any bullying like that?
Oh, yeah.
As a kid?
Yeah. Not like dropping my pumpkin or anything, but yeah. So BDJ, there was a lot of that because it was, it was ninth grade. I don't think it's this way anymore, but the ninth graders were with us as well. So it was 9th, 8th, and 7th. And the ninth graders, like, picked on the 7th graders all the time. Because we had the same gym classes and all that shit. I did have a Latino friend, though, that was in 9th grade while I was in 7th grade. And he always used to show us his guns that he used to bring to school. So that was kind of cool. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was a different time.
A Tide box. Do they still sell detergent like that? Like, they still sell it.
Powder detergent, yeah.
Yeah, like in a cereal box. Lindsay.
This bitch thinks Lindsay is... Lindsay's lazy and won't get the dog. Yet she's come to lock you in the laundry room. Leave Lindsay alone, Beach. Sorry if you can hear that. I'm pouring some more wine.
Michael is, like, so creepy, man.
Yeah, these shots. I just love how this movie shot. Just him through several windows behind her. It's so good.
And I referenced this in the Madman episode that we did with Rob, but, like, think about him versus Madman Mars, like, where Madman Mars has no interest of, like, creeping on anybody or anything like that.
Yeah, he just has no stealth whatsoever. No,
he's not smooth. Like, Michael is, like, so smooth and weird. And that's why I think this movie is so brilliant, because it's like, we'll talk about the ending when we get there, but it's like the way he moves around, like he's in the script as the shape in this movie, and he literally is just the shape, just like drifting, almost ghost-like, and looking through windows, you know. He's just so weird.
Who the fuck is she gonna tell that matters?
That little bitch.
See, I never walk around, like, I always feel like, and maybe it's because I've seen too many slashers, too many horror films in my life, but like, or, you know, heard of way too many actual true crime stuff. Mm-hmm. But like, you would never catch me with my back turned. Like, if I were on the phone, you wouldn't catch me with my back turned to like a window or a door ever. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even walk up the stairs slow. You know what I mean? At night, like, I just run up because I'm like, someone's going to get me. Somebody's back there.
Oh, yeah. Well, what gets me, and maybe it's just ingrained in all of our pop culture, you know, just our daily lives and stuff, kind of like how you're talking, but like taking a shower. Like, before you got over here, I took a shower, and I was like, I left the front door unlocked, so I better make this quick because, like, you never know, basically.
You've got two wolfhounds downstairs, but you're like, I'm not confident those bitches would stop anyone.
No.
Yeah, they greeted me happily, so I walked right in your door.
He likes Lori, but he's very fascinated with Annie.
Well, I think he creeped on them close enough to be able to hear them talking about their plans.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure he's like, okay, I know Annie's going to come over. I can't be going and getting Lori right now.
Paul.
Oh, hi, Paul. Could you imagine being high and the only thing you can, like, you have to eat is fucking plain-ass popcorn?
Also, she doesn't have any more clothes over there. Oh, yeah, she's watching the plays. Never mind.
Yeah.
This scene is, like, always low-key creepy to me. And I always think about this scene every time I go to work early. If you can't tell, I always think about horror movies when I go to work early.
Yeah, because you go and it's pitch black dark and...
Oh, yeah, so...
No one would see you if you were...
Dude, yeah. But the way it's just, like, so subtle. Like, she goes in, grabs the keys, comes back, tries the handle, and it's something that could happen. Like, it tries the handle and it's unlocked, and then she doesn't notice it till she gets in, and it's like... Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Well, I can't say that I wouldn't notice. Like, I'm, again, hyper paranoid about, like, I have this, I get really freaked out. Like,
I saw you
when I pull into the garage. Like, when I get in the car, I immediately lock my doors. Like, when I pull into the garage or when I pull out of the garage, I always watch the door to make sure it completely closes. Oh, yeah. Like, I don't... and when I get in, when I pull into my garage, I immediately turn, like, all the lights on and I, like, run into the house. Like, I don't know what spooked me, like, what I watched that made me so paranoid, but... Yeah. No creepy killer like Michael Myers is gonna catch me in my garage, okay?
Is this the first? This is the first kill we see on screen besides the dog, right?
Well, and his sister.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Again, the grip of a gorilla he must have to be able to, because she's fighting back.
Yeah, that Annie death always, like, creeped me out, man.
Have you ever seen the original Death Thing?
I think, yeah, like, one time.
I've only seen the one, the John Carpenter one you had me watch.
They're very different.
One looks corny.
Yeah, very 50s monster movie sci-fi.
Well, some of the CGI, well, you can call it CGI, the graphics in the thing in the beginning, like, with them. Spaceship and stuff are pretty bad. Yeah. Oh, fuck him. I would be so mad.
Oh, that's so weird. Tommy looking out the window. For anyone listening, Tommy looking out the window and seeing Michael carrying Annie into the house.
I don't remember. I guess we'll find out here soon, but does he say anything to anyone? Oh, people never listen to the kids in these older horror movies. And it's funny, it's kind of ironic because the Lori and her friend, well, and Annie were saying, well, you always blame it on kids. It's always this and that. You always assume. It's like, yeah, well, you always assume the little kids are just scared or talking shit to
scare
each other, or it's their imagination. It's like,
for sure. I feel like I'd be the perfect dad for, like, if my kid told me something was going on, I would probably, like, be like, whatever they told me. Like, if the monster was under the bed or something, I'd be like, a monster might really be under their fucking bed. So, let's take that into account.
Yeah. You don't have to sleep here tonight. We'll check it out. I'll spray some.
Yeah. Oh, Lonnie. Lonnie, get your ass away from there.
He's like, oh, I saved some kids. Why would these just continue to lurk around the Myers house? Like, split up, maybe? Mm-hmm. Send a few other cars out?
Yeah, it's like Loomis is convinced... that, yeah, it's like he's already been there, so why is he gonna just come back?
Yeah, Loomis is his psychiatrist, you know, so he knows him intimately, the way he thinks and stuff. You know that he's clearly cunning enough to know that, like, you know where he is, or you know where he would go and not go there.
Mm-hmm. Dude, that idea is creepy, though. Like, yeah. He just said, like, a little boy staring at the wall, not answering, not making a sound for, like, however many years. and just like snaps again. You know, it's like what makes him snap. And that's one of the things I felt like they did really well in the new movie. We all went to see the new movie when it came out, but when they bring that mask and like people start getting uncomfortable and stuff, like all the other inmates, and then Michael like notices the mask too, but he doesn't look back. And it's almost like that's his power kind of thing. It's like a really weird idea.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, and again, that's one of the things that I didn't like about the new one as well, is that they made him all too human. Like you said, some of the shit that he's doing in this movie is like, it's inhuman.
Oh, yeah.
And as we'll see at the end, that's definitely inhuman.
Like, I just want to say that this van is fucking
radical.
Tight. 100% would drive this van today.
Just leaves the door open.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, for a little scrawny, wiry guy, you look pretty strong. He carried her all the way up there. Yeah, you're right. The blue lighting, I'm noticing it now that you mention it.
Mm-hmm. And some transfers, like, lack that, and others, like this one, the blue lighting is like a must.
I forget her name already. I always forget her name.
Fuck, I forget her name now that you say that. It's Annie.
Annie, Lori. And this beach.
Linda. Linda.
Linda.
Yeah. This beach.
Oh, well, don't have sex. See, in Michael's a slasher. Like infatuated
with sex.
Oh, yeah, because he's never had it. And he has a complex about his sister having sex.
And of course, her virginity. For sure. And of course, the elephant in the room. This is the, as a lot of people say, you know, the birth of the final girl, the ultimate final girl, and Laurie Strode, who of course is a virgin. In this movie,
yeah, the other two girls. No boyfriend coming over. Mm-hmm. Are there any horror movies where the virgins die and the girls who don't have any qualms about sex are the final girls? I don't know.
She did smoke weed, though. So if she did that shit at Camp Crystal Lake, she'd be fucking dead. Because Jason don't put up with that shit. Jason's like the fucking Mike Pence before his time. He's like, I'll kill you if you do anything fun.
Mama wouldn't approve.
I'm just like imagining Mike Pence with like Jason's mom's like sweater on and shit now. Running around killing people. At a camp.
Mother.
Yeah, you could see him doing that too. Like, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
He definitely has like a Norman Bates vibe about him. Now Lori's just like looking out the window, watching.
Yeah. Was she expecting someone? Like, or is that just precautionary? Like, just thinking like, oh, I wonder if he did see someone.
I think Lori, like, maybe, I don't know.
What you is said going you were a nerd. Hang on. What is going on?
They're getting down.
Okay, they're not
Paul's having, clear.
They weren't actually having sex. They were just like making out. And yeah. There was just like so much unnatural movement in that. Anyway, what were you going to say?
So like Lori in this movie is very conflicted because I think she drops a line like everybody's having fun but me. So she wants to be one of these like quote unquote cool girls. But.
Oh yeah. Like in Blood Rage.
Yeah, for sure.
She's just trying to, like, not exactly like that, because in that movie, the main girl, the final girl, is like trying so desperately to have sex.
Yeah.
What was that it?
Another, yeah.
3 seconds, baby.
About to have a couple iconic kills coming up. Of course, when Paul goes to get the beer.
Did he have his glasses on during sex?
No.
I totally missed that. I just can't get my head around how disappointing sex is for all of the girls in this film that have it. It's just like...
Really in horror movies in general, to be honest.
Pump and done. Is that blue light again? I'm just going to point it out every time I see it.
It's beautiful.
Because I just never even noticed it. Because mm-hmm. It was just like, I don't know. Maybe I'm used to like the lighting being good in a lot of movies these days. And I didn't realize how trendsetting. I don't know. Trendsetting is probably the wrong word. But you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That made people jump
back in the day.
I know that it must have. I have that fear, too, of someone coming out of a closet that's closed in my house.
Again, super strength.
Mm-hmm.
I love this.
Well, I mean, he is much bigger than him, but one hand to hold his whole body in the air and stab at the same time is superhuman strength. You're right.
I love the way he, like, stands and looks at him.
Oh, yeah, and the knife is pinning him to the wall, and mm-hmm. It wasn't that big of a knife. Like, see how, like, physics-wise, no. Like,
I love the way he does his head. Like that. He's, like, trying to figure out.
Oh, yeah.
Or, like, just admiring his work, almost.
I don't know if it's admiring more than just, like,
yeah, what do you think's going on there?
I guess, I don't... Yeah, it does
makes him make this move.
Yeah, it does make you wonder. I mean, it must be like a sadistic, like admiring his work, because he does too many things that would indicate that he's much smarter and aware of what he's doing. It's not just like he pinned that guy to the wall with a knife and was like, oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I've never done that before. Now I'm looking at it and that's pretty I'm observing what's happening. It can't be that.
And this is almost like childlike.
Oh yeah, her little bows and her, and then with the ghost and the glasses.
And it would make sense, like if Michael has kind of like a childlike still thing about him. Like ultimately, he's a psychopath too, but he probably, well, obviously being locked in the room and stuff, he still has the emotions. This is always just like a weird choice to me, like having him do this and creepy.
Well, he does like toying with people.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not going to be, she's wide awake. He's not going to be able to sneak up on her any other kind of way. Unless he waits for her to leave the room. But eventually she's going to get suspicious that her boyfriend never came back. And start walking around the house. They could have gotten her in any other kind of way, but I feel like... Maybe they wanted you to laugh a little bit. They wanted like a little moment of comic relief. I'm sorry, but I don't have any friends that would ever call me and make fake sex sounds. Also, even if you're being strangled, couldn't you get help or like...
Yeah, no shit. If you can make that sound, then you should be able to say help.
Like, you can move your lips to affect the sound coming out of you.
There's a really good look at that William Shatner mask.
How long did it take to see boobs in this film? Probably like 2 minutes.
Yeah, so you see his sister. Then yeah. That's it, right?
In these like older slashers, there's always boobs, but you never see any guys' stuff.
And this is like, yeah. So like the film that really starts this kind of slasher mode. So this movie does indeed start it, but Friday the 13th takes that and like triples all the boobs and like kills and stuff like that.
Yeah, did the filmmakers back then just think like girls didn't want to see horror movies or slashers and that it was only like geared towards guys?
I know there was a big movement against slasher movies, like the Moms for America thing and like all that other stuff. Big time. Especially with Friday
the 13th. But like throw in like a butt. Mm-hmm. A flash of a ding dong. Like
a lot more button.
Just put something in for the girls.
Yeah. I think you get to see Kevin Bacon's ass in Friday the 13th, if I'm not mistaken.
Rose's favorite movie.
Kevin Bacon was a good looking guy though back in the day.
Rose would take Kevin Bacon right now.
Yeah. It's like it took you that long to see that car there.
Shit, he's been sitting by that hedge for like five hours.
Yeah, how about you put your gun away and look around?
There's that theme coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Nice touch with the leaves falling in the wind. Especially knowing it was made in California. That could have been something they just like.
And you put a gun to my head, like the third act, one of the best. Like, if you asked me, put a gun to my head and asked me the best third act ever, it's when this all ramps up and she leaves the house, that theme kicks in, and she goes over there to check on that. It is just like a fucking fright fest after that point.
I just looked in her bag. And I know I should remember this, but she has knitting needles. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, she's like uber smart and knits. Like the virgin must have like really old lady. She has wears old lady clothes a lot of the time. And she knits. That's an old lady thing to do. Well, not for everyone. You know, I'm just stereotyping. But.
And she knits fucking little, Michael's neck later on in the movie too.
Right. It's a little like on the nose.
And this is Laurie's theme on the soundtrack. If anybody listened to the soundtrack as much as I do, this is Laurie's theme. I think like track like 2 or 3. But I absolutely adore this theme. I oftentimes wonder like what someone thinks about me when I'm riding around in my black SUV and they can just hear like Halloween theme like banging.
Yeah.
Like someone would be listening to a rap song or something, and I'm just listening to like Laurie's theme from the Halloween soundtrack.
Yeah, just in July.
In traffic.
Yeah, I you're the only person I know that listens to like spooky soundtracks and like all times of the year.
Oh, yeah.
Can her waist be any smaller? Jealous.
To see those like the high-waisted jeans and stuff are back too, right?
Oh, they've been noticed, back a long time.
Yeah. I was gonna say I've noticed those a couple times.
Yeah, the kind of tight high-waisted with a blousy tucked-in shirt. It's definitely a.
I think they look better, look. Honestly. Like,
it
I
is. Never it's liked a nice
the
look.
Low-cut.
Like jeans. If people thought they were coming here for our commentary. They're coming for a fashion lesson. Like we've talked about the fashion of this movie a lot. Am I mistaken, or isn't that where he was stuck to the wall with a knife?
Yeah, he was.
So he removed the body.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Quaker Oats in the background there. Their logo hasn't changed much. Honey, who are you sneaking up on? Turn the lights on. This is what I never understand about these older movies, is like no one turns on the lights.
Yeah, never walk into a dark house.
Yeah, and when people don't answer you, even if it's Halloween and you think, oh, my friends are probably trying to trick me and scare me, they're jerks, like, I don't play that.
Nah.
If I thought my friends might even be playing a joke on me like that, I would just leave. I would ruin their fun and be like, uh-uh.
Oh, Lori, don't go up the stairs.
It's just, it's doing it in the dark. Like, just turn on the lights. Makes for a better movie, but...
We get to see one thing I've always noticed is the light under the door once she gets up here like that, and Michael making her a presentation almost, which is just like weird. He's like, look what I did for you.
I know. I've seen this so many times. Oh my God. This does get me every time. None of the doors squeak in this either, which is unrealistic.
Ugh. Oh. I love that he even took the time to light the jack-o'-lantern next to her, too.
Right. The headstone is in fucking mint condition. It's beautiful. Look how clean it is.
These are some scares that I've never understood, by the way, coming up. Like, how is this dude hanging and stuff? And how does this door open right here?
You know, I never noticed that.
It's like I'm so used Michael to the rigged all of it.
Yeah, I'm so used to the chaos of the scene that I didn't realize that either.
This is fucking creepy.
Oh, yeah. This is... I might have to take this screenshot for the... Oh, I hate shots like that. Inside has a shot like that where you see Femme just in the shadows. You just see like the shadow of her, like it is a bit of light on her face. You can barely see her hovering behind the main character. It's just like, oh, those get me every time.
The Shape Stalks is the name of this tune. Another one of my favorites. It's like, break the window, Lori. I like how he like rigged that.
Yes, break
too.
The window and move the rake. Push it out, away from you. I don't know. I guess if I were in that situation, would I be so clear-headed? I'm not sure. I always assume that I would be like fucking Rambo.
Survivor.
I would be Rambo if this ever happened to me. See, there she goes. Takes a little too long to figure out.
See, the tripping thing I don't doubt, because if you think about it, you'd be running with everything you had and you're not used to running like that. So you probably would like trip over something.
Yeah. I mean, you're running on grass. It's uneven ground. There could be a molehill or a
Your legs
divot.
Are going to be moving faster than like you're thinking because you're trying to get away, because you know he's trying to obviously take your life.
Don't How are these people not answering the door? If a young woman is screaming, help me, help me.
The keys. Oh, the keys.
The movie could have been over if that guy had just helped her open the door.
Oh, this is like anxiety.
How blessed is she, though, that he moves so slowly?
Honey, yeah, if this were Scream, he'd God. Be fucked.
Do not bring a killer to the house where the little kids are. Run away. He has been a busy boy tonight. He cut the lines on that phone. Who knows when? Yeah. Grab more than one, honey.
I always love how she grabs the knife at the scene and then, like, just drops it on the floor.
Yeah, like, that's what I really have never understood that about a lot of, like, older slashers is, like, they have it when people get a chance to have a weapon and they don't keep it with them.
Right.
I guess maybe that's because we grew up in, like, a video game generation where we're just like, take all the weapons you with you.
No shit.
You never know. You might need them.
See, like, if you're in this situation for her, like, would you go up and stab him, or would you just try to get away from him as fast as possible?
Oh, I would be getting away, but I would not assume that he was out for the count.
For sure.
You never assume that. But it's much more risky for her. Like, he could be playing dead. It mm-hmm. would be much more risky for her to go up to him and make any attempt to unmask him or stab him again, where he could have her right there to grab. And clearly he has superhuman strength. And most men that size could overpower most women. Are there any slashers that have, like, fun, like, comedies where they kind of Home Alone the slasher? You know what I mean? Where they set, like, booby traps for the slasher?
Your Next comes to mind. The movie Your Next by Adam Wingard. Yeah, there's a few like that. Yeah, essentially, I mean, some of these final girls are kind of like that, like, I guess. I'm trying to think. Your Next is the one that immediately comes to mind, though, for sure.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh, yeah.
She sets booby traps for him in that one.
That's a great example.
Oh, my God.
Oh. This scene always, I always love this scene, the way that that light, like, flashes on and off, and you see his mask. The way that that light illuminates his mask as the light's going on and off is fucking so killer.
The killers always look in the closet.
Oh, yeah. He didn't even look at that fucking open door.
This is such a suspenseful scene, even after having seen it who knows how many times.
Oh, yeah.
You just picture yourself being in that closet. There's nowhere to go.
Have you noticed that it's like...
She did not take a knife or anything with her.
It's been like these last couple minutes have been tough to talk because you're almost like... you're almost like anxious and shit. Like you're feeling the
suspense. You're just in the moment. You can't tear your eyes away or stop from just watching what's happening. Like that little wire hanger, she had to have got him right in the eye.
Yeah.
Like how lucky. Yeah, girl, there you go. Like, I don't know what she's about to do before she does it.
Like, oh, thank God he's dead.
Honey, move. Fucking get the fuck out. Oh, yeah, that's a tricky situation.
I think she throws down the knife again, if I'm not right.
Okay, slit his throat right now.
Yeah, like at this. Yeah, she just threw down a knife.
You're already that close to him. You're already like above his head. Fucking slit.
Yeah, at this
throat.
Point, I'm going for his eye holes and shit. Like, I would have stabbed him in the face or something.
See, and she leaves her back to the room.
Mm-hmm.
She has no evidence that he is dead. I do appreciate that they don't kill the kids in this film. It would have been very taboo back then to do that. I feel like today's horror.
Oh, that's hair-raising.
Oh, yeah. Him just popping up. Mm-mm. But I feel like today's filmmakers, like especially in the horror genre, like they have no chill. Like they will kill anyone, anything.
And again, to bring up the new one, that's one of the things that I felt like they did right is make Michael like a animalistic monster again. Because he kills that kid when, you know, at the beginning when he breaks out of that bus, he fucking strangles that kid. And I was like, oh.
I think it's the only other Halloween movie I've seen. Is that, 2018?
Really?
Yeah.
You haven't seen you've seen part two in the hospital.
No.
Right? No. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh. HMF fans.
People know this about me. I haven't seen a lot of the stuff you show. Oh, yeah, you see his face.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember that.
He's breathing like fucking Scully does in the middle of the night.
Scully's a little overweight.
The wolfhounds have like a way about them, though. They'll just stand in the dark and like look at you.
They really are creepy. The sight hounds will stare you down in a way that no other dog does.
Oh, yeah. Well, you've made the comment before they'll look you right in the eye like wolfhounds do.
Yeah, and sometimes it's sweet, but other times like you turn around and they're there. It's really creepy. Yet again... Just because you shot him doesn't mean anything. They think he's human, though.
Oh. And see, this is my rant, and I believe I've had it before, but one of the scariest endings of all time. Because you're like, why these girls? Why these teens? Like, there's no reason. There's no brother or anything like that. Like, you don't know that he's her brother. And he's not her brother in this movie. Like, he's just out killing these kids, and then he just disappears into the night. And you don't know what he was
was. You mean this film?
Yeah.
No, I think it makes a lot of sense. Like he kills teen
girls who are of an age where they have started to come into their own sexuality, and that reminds him, and it is sort of his MO with his sister. It's his trigger, right? Mm-hmm. So he mostly kills girls like that and goes after them. And I think he only kills that guy, whoever Linda's boyfriend was, because he happened to be there and he had to get rid of him so that he could get to the girl.
For sure. I'm saying, like, the way he just disappears. Like, and that ending scene where it just shows him breathing, and it shows the Meyer house, it shows the streets, and he's just breathing. It's almost like he's everywhere. Like, he can be everywhere and anywhere.
Right.
This boogeyman can pop up anywhere.
And I never knew that it was part of the story. What did you say, it was in the book or in a different movie that they reveal that there's these, like, ancient Irish?
Yeah, so, like, later on in the series, they kind of start taking it in that direction. But in the novelization, they suggest that there's, like, this Celtic curse kind of thing that pops up every so often. That, like, this evil that's brought into the world or whatever. And they say that, like, Michael has voices and stuff telling him to do things.
So, in any of the films, do they explain why he has this superhuman strength and this inability to be killed? Like, I've seen him shot, stabbed, burned, blown up, and he never dies?
Kind of, yeah. So, they, like, yeah, later on in the series, yeah, kind of. For sure. But that is the end of the film. We are going through the credits. It's showing you Don't Fear the Reaper and The Thing and all that stuff that was present in the movie. So, Kate, what'd you think about it? This showing, still the masterclass, right?
Oh, yeah. I always love this movie. And I don't know if it's just something about my brain where I just don't... And I don't commit a lot of the details to memory. Mm-hmm. When I watch this, because I know I'm going to watch it every year. Because some movies, when I know I'm probably only going to watch it, like, the once or the twice, like, the second time, like, I tend to remember them much more vividly and the details of it, like Donnie Darko, for instance. And whereas this movie, you guys heard throughout, if you've made it this far, like, I forget what happens. And, like, I forget, like, what the kids say or what they do next. And, like, I don't know what it is, but I love this movie, and I'm always surprised by different things that I see each time.
Yeah. Yeah. You notice, like, different stuff pretty much every time you watch it. Yeah. I'm glad that you that I was able to, that you never had seen the colors and stuff before.
No.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah. The color, this movie's, like, so beautiful, man. But yeah. Do we have anything else you want to cover?
Other than just thanking anyone who's listening still for coming along this ride with us and listening to a lot of our random little stories and thoughts that came along the way. I know Travis dropped a lot more fun facts than I could ever provide.
But and I enjoyed all the, I like to do these, like, just whatever comes to mind, almost like you're just watching a movie, like, with friends and stuff. And that's essentially what we're doing. But yeah, this was, like, fun, man. We're going to have to do this again.
Yeah. If you did like this, make sure you, tell us about it on social media, or, you know, give this episode a like. Just let us know one way or another if you like these, because we are thinking of maybe doing a Patreon or maybe doing some more live commentaries just in general for the main channel. And we just want to make sure this is something you guys enjoy and would like more of, because we have a blast doing them.
Oh, yeah, for sure. As always, find us over on Twitter at HorrifyingMF and at Captain Creature, and on Facebook and Instagram at Horrifying My Friends. But that'll about do it. Enjoy our Halloween commentary as you revisit this classic legendary film.
And have a happy Halloween. Check your candy.
Friends.